Hey y'all, and welcome back to Hopefully Healing. So I want to start this episode with a very gentle content warning. Today we are discussing sexual trauma. Now this is a deeply personal and painful topic, and I want y'all to know that if you need to pause, please do so, take a breath, or skip this episode entirely. Please do. I don't want to trigger anybody, and your healing definitely comes first. So if this is a topic that is very sensitive to you, please skip, pause, and come back to it when you're ready. I also want to start by saying, if you've experienced sexual trauma, I want you to know that your pain is real. I believe you. And you're not alone. In this episode, we're going to talk about what sexual trauma is, how it affects your mind and body, and most importantly, how we as survivors can reclaim our voice, our power, and our peace. So whether you're a survivor or someone who loves one, I hope this space offers insight, compassion, and another reminder that you are not alone. So, without further ado, let's just jump right on in. So, to jump right on in, I'm going to share part of my story. And I do want to preface this that I'm not sharing my story because I have to, but I do feel like I am finally free enough to, because someone out there needs to know that healing is real and joy is still possible, and you definitely can overcome this. So my sexual trauma started at a very early age. The earliest I could remember was 5 years old, and I won't go into detail, but just know I was violated, and it was a violation of trust. It was a violation of my peace and my safety. And that happened at a very young age, and it continued till I was a teenager. So I remember, honestly, as a young kid, I don't remember knowing if it was bad. I don't remember, like, and I say bad in the sense of I didn't know what was happening. So I was confused on whether I was even being assaulted, because I'm five. You don't know what's going on. You listening to what people tell you to do. So I do remember that. And that was, you don't know what it takes away from you until you start to process it and get older. And for a long time, again, I didn't call it what it was because I didn't know what it was. And I minimized it. I minimized it a lot, and I put a lot of blame on my body. I've always been very shapely, even as a bigger girl. And unfortunately, that got me a bunch of unwanted attention. So, that is just a very small part of my story and something that I had to heal from. So what it did to me was it changed every part of me. Parts of me that I didn't even know were changed or existed. I carried a lot of shame, what I did wrong, flashbacks, and it honestly made me question my worth, as well as, you know, it bothered my self-esteem. It just really changed everything. And the worst part of it, I stayed silent for years. I don't even think I spoke my truth until I was an adult. I don't think I could even formulate the words. I couldn't really tell people what happened, when it happened, how it happened, or who did it. And That was hard because I honestly didn't think anyone was going to believe me. And I remember, excuse me. I do remember the first time that I told my mom what happened to me and it was not well received. And then I went back silent. I was very much so met with that happens to everybody, or I wonder who did that to, you know, that person to make them do that to you. So it wasn't a lot of reassurance to even speak. So silence felt golden. It was best. But that silence is heavy. So if you haven't spoken up, if you haven't spoken your truth, if you can't even formulate the words or process exactly what happened to you or your violation or whatever the case is, I want you to know that that's okay. And when you're ready, you can speak and you have a support system, and you're not alone in that. But that silence can be very heavy. Very heavy. And it still is, you know, it can just be very heavy. But along the way, I got tired of pretending I was okay. I got tired of pretending that I was okay. And I started to attempt to find healing, you know, wherever I could. But that, that wasn't easy. It would be a lie if I told you that once I was able to speak it, that I, you know, said, okay, it's time to heal. No, I suppressed it. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine and we were talking about it. And that's what prompted this episode, really, was we were talking about the fact of the matter that when you are sexually abused, you do repress it. And you push it down and you stuff it down and you try to move on with your life. And it's not something that you try to think about often, but unfortunately, it rears its ugly head in multiple different ways in your life. And we were talking about how even though we've acknowledged what happened, how it still shows up in our lives to this day. And I can say it caused me to be extremely hypersexual. I poured myself into school, but I was also very hypersexual. For a long time, I felt like I was only worth what my body was because I had always been used for my body. So to me, I started to reduce myself to my body. And that's just me being very honest, very vulnerable, and very truthful. I had little to no self-respect at one point in my life. And I definitely reduced myself to what my body had to offer. So yeah, I became very hypersexual. And what was crazy about the hypersexuality was I also didn't like people commenting on my body. I'm like, please don't comment on it. But here it is for you to take, because that's what you want anyway. And it took me a long time to admit that. And I was speaking with my friend and she was just like, you know, yeah. But sex became a comfort because it was what I knew. And that sounds so fucking crazy saying it out loud, but that's just the truth. Sex became very comfortable for anything that I was going through to take me away from stuff, even though sex and sexual assault had caused so much harm. It became a comfort. And if you're experiencing that as somebody who has been violated as a child or even as an adult, I know some people, you know, they may never want to be touched again. And that's very understandable. But yeah, my situation was I was very hypersexual. Very hypersexual. And it that's how it reared its head. It really did. So yeah. But it just comes through in many different ways. I know a lot of people who threw themselves into school. They occupied themselves with academics. They distracted themselves. I know some people even turned to drugs, unfortunately, to attempt to escape what they were feeling and the tracks they replay in your mind over and over again. So, again, if that is where you are in your journey, that's okay. I really want to reiterate, wherever you are in this particular journey is okay. I don't want you to feel as though like you have to hurry up and do anything. Just take your time, and your journey is your journey. And this is such a hard road to walk. It's okay to take baby steps, if that makes sense. Yeah. So back to what I was saying. Sorry, I had to take a brief little intermission myself. So back to what I was saying. It does show up in different places. Again, like I was hypersexual to the point that I used sex to cope. It was a coping mechanism like crazy. Even down to after my husband passed away, I guess you can call it determined to, I was determined to fuck myself into feeling better. I do not know, but it definitely was crazy. And I remember my therapist, she really opened my eyes to the fact that me being overly sexualized as a child played into me being hypersexual as an adult and it being a comfort and coping mechanism for me. And I would have never tied the two together because I was like, girl, what does it have to do with anything? But when she broke it down, it definitely made sense. So that is just one way it can show up in your life. It can also show up in a great mistrust for people, not allowing anybody to be close to you. Because when you go through something like any type of assault, sexual assault or physical assault, it takes something from you. It takes something from you. It takes your innocence. Again, it takes your peace, your trust. It can take everything from you. And you're often left with a million little pieces that you have to pick up. And I'm just here to let you know that you can take those million little pieces and you can make a beautiful masterpiece. A beautiful masterpiece just from a million little pieces. And just always remember that. So let's get into what is sexual assault. Because like many survivors, again, like I said, I didn't know what to call what happened to me. So sexual assault isn't always violent or dramatic like we see. I know a lot of times we think of, oh my gosh, somebody being sexual assault is them being, you know, something very violent and very dramatic. And it's not always that. Sometimes it's very subtle and very quiet and lurking in the shadows. It's very manipulative and it's often with someone you trusted. Again, like I said, for me, it was at a very young age where I was very vulnerable and and you know, it was with people that were trusted, obviously, or honestly. And like I said earlier, I remember thinking like, what is this? Like, was it assault? But sexual assault can be, or any type of sexual trauma can be something simple as every time you wanted to say no, but were coerced into saying yes, or you felt like, oh, they're going to be angry if I don't say yes, if I don't do this. That's sexual assault. It's assault. And I know a lot of times we don't think of that as assault because of that's my partner. You know, that's somebody I love. But if you don't want to do it, you don't want to do it. If they are manipulating you emotionally into doing it, that's assault. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And like I said, we are not taught that. We're taught assault is violent. It's loud. It's aggressive. But it can be silent manipulation. Anything that you do not willingly consent to, that's assault. You know, period. If it was something you didn't want to do or couldn't consent to, that is assault. Yeah. A lot of times we feel guilty because we didn't fight back or our body froze. And, you know, for me, a long time, I hated myself for that. Like, you think you know what you would do in certain situations, because mine didn't stop at five. At five, okay, you understand. You know, you're a child. But in my teenage years, like, you would think, you know, outside looking in, why didn't you scream? Why didn't you yell? Why didn't you, you know, get help? But my body, it froze. I couldn't scream, run, or do anything. I froze. And I froze. And in some cases, I didn't even say no. And that was, you know, that's still very hard to understand and accept, because on the outside looking in, you would be like, in my right mind, I would have screamed. I would have yelled. I would have cried. I would have did something. But no. You freeze, and a lot of times you disassociate. And I remember just, you know, not to get too detailed, but I remember just laying there and my body shut down. I was there, but mentally I had to disassociate with the situation. And that's just your body shutting down to survive. Who knows what would have happened if I would have yelled, if I would have screamed, how the outcome would have been. We don't know. But it took a long time not to beat myself up about that. So anyone who's listening, I really want you to know, if you froze, if you couldn't say no, you still didn't consent and you didn't fail yourself. Please don't beat yourself up about that. You did what you had to do to survive, and your body did what it had to do to survive. Let's get into the aftermath of this. A lot of times, this particular situation can cause you to shut down emotionally. Shut down. You really start to doubt your worth in. I even doubted my reality. Like, seriously, I blamed myself. I silenced myself. Like I said earlier, me trying to speak about it wasn't well received. Self-silence really was golden. And it also was silent because I didn't want anybody to look at me differently. I didn't want them to look at me and see something stained or flawed. Because I blamed myself for what happened. Maybe if, you know, I wore something different. And the silly shit that you tell yourself, honestly. And the silly shit that society says. But I believed that silly shit. I believed it. Maybe if I wouldn't have been in this space. Maybe if I wouldn't have went there. I believed it. And I blamed myself. I blame myself. I truly did. And that was hard. That was hard to get over. It was really hard to get over the self-blame of it. And telling yourself, like, you know what? Maybe, you know, it wasn't that bad. Because sometimes lying to yourself feels so much easier than the truth. Sometimes minimizing something and storing it is a lot easier than confronting it head on. So that's what we tend to do. We push it to the back of our minds and we get up and we go on with our everyday life. But again, it rears its ugly head. I carried that weight. Let's see, I'll be 35 in 2 weeks. I carried that weight for 32 years, basically, until I was 32 years old. And it touched, that weight touched everything. Goodness gracious. See, I get emotional even talking about it still. But that touched everything. It touched my relationships, how I showed up in my relationships, the walls that I had up. It touched my sleep. Like, there was a time that let me see, how can I say this? Sorry. I have repressed memories. And I know around January, for the longest time that I could remember, until about 2 to 3 years ago, January was just rough for me. Like, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything. Like, my body was in fight mode. And for the life of me, I could not understand why. I knew something traumatic had happened during that time, but I could not remember what it was. And my therapist told me, like, you have repressed memories because your mind is trying to protect itself. And that fucked with me because to this day, I still don't know what it is. Maybe one day it'll be revealed to me. I don't know. But it will really touch everything. So it touched my sleep and even how I saw myself in the mirror. Even how I saw myself in the mirror. I didn't feel good about a lot of things as pertained to this. Like I said, looking in the mirror and having some real life self-reflection, I realized that I had reduced myself to my body. Reduced myself to my body. And that was kind of devastating. I don't want to say devastating, but that was a harsh reality. And, you know, but I had to fight that head on. I couldn't keep tucking it away and pretending that everything was okay. I couldn't keep acting like, you know, nothing happened or what happened to me wasn't that big of a deal. Sometimes you have to look at yourself in the mirror and you got to fight that shit head on because you're not what happened to you. And that was something that I had to tell myself. I am not my trauma. I am not what happened to me. I am so much more than this. And a lot of times I think that we can reduce ourselves to our trauma and to what happened to us. And we can get stuck there. And like I said on the first episode, sometimes we get stuck in those cycles. And then one day, you get tired of being stuck in the cycle. You get tired of shrinking. Don't get me wrong. Healing doesn't come all at once. But it started when I told the truth. When I looked at myself and said, this happened to you. This wasn't your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't deserve this. Yes, your innocence was stolen from you. You didn't give it away. It wasn't your choice. That was taken from you. And once I was honest with myself and started to tell others the truth about what happened to me, then I could really start to feel free and really, you know, start my healing process. It's funny because I literally just told my wife maybe 2-3 months ago my entire story. And because even to this day, after going through, you know, after starting my healing journey, it still was heavy that I didn't want to tell her because I didn't want her to look at me differently. I didn't want her to judge me and say, why didn't you yell? Why didn't you scream? And thank God she didn't. She was very careful with my feelings. And, you know, shout out to you, babe. So once you start to tell the truth and to yourself and slowly to others, when you're ready, not on anybody else's timeline, when you are ready to tell your own truth, because it's your story, you tell it when you're ready. I started therapy, but I started therapy about, you know, when I turned 30. That's when I started therapy. So about 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, I started listening to my body. And I learned that healing is not about forgetting. It's about, again, remembering who I am beyond the pain, beyond the trauma, because this does not define me. This does not define you. This is just a portion of your story. And so then now we start the healing journey. And it's ongoing. it's ongoing. This is not a one and done. This is a ongoing thing. You will still have triggers. I still have triggers. I still have moments where I feel disconnected. And you may have those moments just as well. But I will say, after sharing my story, this is probably the most whole I've felt. This is the most whole I've felt because, again, like I was speaking with my friend, we were talking about it, and we were talking about like how it robs you of so much that you don't even remember when you who you were before the incident. Or the last time you smiled genuinely, or the last time you were able to really be happy, because what the fuck is happiness? So we were talking about that, and it was just like, wow. But I feel as whole as I've ever felt in my entire life. I've reclaimed my body. I've reclaimed my voice through this podcast. And just speaking out, I've reclaimed my peace. I will never carry the shame that I carried about what happened to me again, because it was never my shame to carry. It was never my shame to carry. And it's not your shame to carry either. I will always remember that I am much more than this. I am much more than what happened to me. So I want to offer you all support and know that you are not alone. I want to say to my supporting survivors who fought through this, who are still fighting through this, who still feel like they don't have a voice. I just want to tell you and anybody who loves you, like, we believe you. You know, if you love a survivor, listen to them. Don't rush their healing. Don't ask questions like, are you sure that's what happened? Yes, I'm sure. And if anybody fucking asks you that, you know, okay. But if you are supporting a survivor, just remember, we don't need interrogation. We don't need you to ask us a million questions on what happened, when it happened, why it happened, where was I, am I sure, who did I say. We don't need that. Thank you, but we don't need that. What we need is presence. Presence. You being there is just enough. Just being a listening ear and just meeting them with softness and not solutions. Just be there. To my healers, yeah, I'm sorry if I keep, like, it seems like I keep taking breaks in the middle of this because I am this heavy. But to my girls who are, or my men who are healing from something like this, whether you haven't started your journey, you're about to start your journey, or you just don't know where to start with this. I just want you to know that your story is your story. And you can tell your story whenever you're ready to tell it, how you want to tell it. You do not have to be silenced. I want you to know that healing isn't linear. Some days you'll be up. Some days you'll be down. Some days you'll think you've moved past it and you are triggered. Some days you may relapse to what you were doing prior to even cope with this, and that's okay too. I want you to get the help that you need. Know that you are far more than this. And there's something on the other side of it. yes, these things happened to you, and I'm so sorry that they did. But we can heal. We can. Again, there's no timeline on healing. There's no rush to healing. You take your time. Be wherever you need to be in your story. Be it you take leaps to healing or small baby steps. Take your time. Because again, this is your story and your story alone. To the person that's still holding their breath, let this be your permission to breathe. Exhale. Again, what happened to you is not the end of your story. You're allowed to heal. You're allowed to take up space. And you're allowed to feel joy again. I'm still healing. I'm still healing. This is not something that you just heal from. I'm still healing. I'm still on this journey with you. But I'm living proof that there is life on the other side of trauma. And you're not alone. Happy healing. As always, I love y'all. Please follow me on all social media platforms. Check the show notes. I'm going to drop down some therapists in there and some resources and some hotlines to anybody who is dealing with, have dealt with, or even supporting someone who has dealt with or dealing with sexual trauma and abuse and assault. So check that out in the show notes. And if you got any questions, feel free to reach out to me at hopefullyhealingpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you. Bye.